we're leaving Afghanistan maybe by the end of July, so we're pretty much out of there. Iraq, we just learned the president wants to leave Iraq and all military activities by the end of this year. There's a lot of debate on this because a lot of people say, you know, we can't stay in Afghanistan forever. We've been there for 20 years. And generally, as a rule, when America goes someplace, they never leave. Joining me is Jason Killmeyer. He is a counterterrorism former policy expert. Jason, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So as we leave Afghanistan, though, we see the Taliban, or as Joe Biden says, the Taliban, taking territory every day. And it looks like they're probably going to be basically unstoppable. So is this the right thing to do in your estimation?
Steve, you know, I think there was no choice but to get out. Domestic support for the war had cratered. We had seen that for both parties. President Trump began the process. President Biden is finishing it. So the question becomes, was there a way to leave more responsibly? And I think the answer to that is yes. And so right now we don't have any regional basing agreements in place. We've got overflight rights from one country. That country is Pakistan, not exactly a dependable partner. And no real plan to respond to immediately actionable intelligence. And I think that's what the American people are starting to catch on to. Wait a minute, we wanted to go, but we assumed some of these core security logistics would have been figured out.
Well, that's exactly right, but none of the logistics have been figured out. And I don't know where that responsibility lies, but you would think the Joint Chiefs or those in charge of the theater, that is Afghanistan, would be able to say, listen, we can pull out, we can end this, but here are the steps we have to take to have an organized, sensible commitment to leaving in a proper fashion. But it doesn't seem that's the case, is what you're telling me.
You're correct, Steve. And I've read virtually every publicly available statement down to the assistant secretary, undersecretary level, from DOD-friendly publications, mainstream press reports, government statements. They're really still figuring it out. And that's troublesome. So right now, we're conducting reconnaissance flights from the Middle East, and we're going through Pakistan. A lot of people don't realize we conducted two airstrikes just this week against the Taliban. But when will we intervene? What is the risk threshold via which we will determine that there's an immediately actionable threat? Very little detail coming out of the White House. It's clear that they left without having figured out a lot of these core and basic details, nor explain them to the American people.
Right, and the American people remain split on this about whether we should have been there in the first place. A new poll from Gallup says 47% of Americans say us being there was a mistake. 46% say it was not a mistake. But if we pull out and we had 2,350 American military personnel killed plus 60,000 Afghan military and police killed during our time there, what was it all for? If it just all goes back to the Taliban and it all goes back to where we were 20 years ago, and the terrorists can, again, have terrorist training camps and breeding grounds, what was it all for if it all just falls apart in our exit?
And I'm with you. The sacrifice that we made there demands some state change, some change in conditions. And so absolutely a stunning indictment of our foreign policy elite that the conditions and the threats and the problems that existed there 20 years ago still do. But that's the reality of where we are. And so the folks who just want to leave and sort of say, hey, we can turn our backs from Afghanistan in a consequence-free fashion, the question I ask to them is, these very same elites that we condemn for their mismanagement of Afghanistan are the same people you're now trusting to make the right call when the next threat arises. And I don't see a lot of evidence that this administration is poised for that.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of evidence that they're spending their time on woke policies at the military academies and not really about national security and the things that matter. Now, I'm a Monroe Doctrine kind of a guy. I'm all right with leaving. I think we were there too long. That's the side of this line that I come down on. But I agree with you insofar as you don't just pull out without a plan. You don't just pull out and just say, good luck, we'll see you later. I remember watching the television in April 1975 as the helicopters were lifting off the American embassy in Saigon and all the craziness that went on. Now we're trying to get out interpreters and other refugees from Afghanistan that certainly will be executed by the Taliban if they're left behind. We've already seen that just a couple of days ago. An interpreter was caught and beheaded by the Taliban. That will continue. That's not a good reputation to leave behind, is it?
No, and the reality is we are now seeing, due to the vacuum that we've left, foreign powers fill that void. And so you mentioned Vietnam. No one wanted to be there. That was a degree of intensity that Afghanistan never quite stoked in the American people. But the debate has been had and been won. We're leaving.
Well, let me ask you about something else before I run out of time, because I want to ask you one more thing before, because this is important. The Silk and Road Initiative, or whatever the Chinese call their deal, $62 billion already coming in. From China, $62 billion, as they move in to take over the void left behind by the American military. Does that concern you? I'll give you the last word.
It does, Steve. That Belt and Road Initiative, plus a major port that China has built in Pakistan, which now has Chinese naval presence there, this is how you establish a permanent beachhead in the wake of U.S. Influence, and I think that that's going to cause both trouble and instability going forward.
Yeah. Belt and Road Initiative. Yeah, I misstated that. It's the Belt and Road Initiative. But as it is, it's $62 billion to open bidding, and the Chinese are doing this all over the world, so it's worth taking note of. Jason Kilmeyer, counterterrorism foreign policy expert. Sir, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Steve.
Greatly appreciate it. All right, still to come today, Liz Peek will be here. Ron Rademacher will join us on the program. A lot to get to today. Plus, you can drop me a line at stevegruber.com. Go there, tell me what you think is going on, and never miss a moment. If you're going to be away for any reason, go to stevegruber.com, click that Listen Live button, and guess what you get? You get all Steve all the time. Yeah, that's quite a gift, isn't it? We'll be right back.